Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like geography, the visual arts, performing arts, storytelling, and literature. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're talking with Eric Renz Whitmore, a lead organizer of the DataFest Art Quest event, and Karen Mazur, public art project coordinator and database administrator for the City of Albuquerque Public Art Program. Eric, Karen, before we get into some of the real nitty-gritty details about what some of this data might look like and some of what you were doing with it during the DataFest, I would like to ask each of you, if you can and you're willing, how did you actually come to be doing this work that you are doing? I don't necessarily think you went to school to get a degree in database administration for the public arts program. And Eric, I don't think you went to DataQuest Academy, but maybe you did. So what brought you to this current place and time to be doing this kind of work?
It's been a circuitous path for sure. I have a background in visual arts and graphic design, photography, and as an art educator. And I've always been interested in public art from the kind of civic engagement, community-driven public art kind of standpoint. I mean, I like to look at a big site-specific sculpture if it's interesting, but also just the idea of art made with the public in mind that's accessible to people who don't go to museums, or some way for people to engage in visual arts that's available. I went to UNM to get a master's in art education, and I've got a fellowship working at the Center for Southwest Research to inventory the public art at UNM campus, which, oddly enough, and this says a lot about public art, there was no central collection mechanism for them at all. It's more like folklore, how this thing got on the campus. There were a lot of pieces that are actually part of the city's public art program that people at UNM weren't even 100% clear on. There's a lot of pieces from the state's Art in Public Places program that get placed there. So I did a real simple sort of digital humanities version of that, where I was just photographing and writing metadata on public art that I could see on main campus, and then uploading it to the New Mexico Digital platform. And so there's about 150 pieces available with photograph up there now. I inventoried a lot of other work, but I just wasn't able to document a lot of them, get a good photograph, or even get information about who was the artist or when it showed up. So when I was done with school, this job at the public art program came up, and I think their collection database had been down for a number of months. And so I think they just were like, oh, you can do something like this. So it was a good 6 months or so before the museum system database came back online and we were able to access it. And of course, by then we were all working from home. So it's been a real slow process, and the hackathon event kind of gave us an opportunity to just focus on that for a while. I had an intern from UNM and a contract employee. We were all working on this almost full time there for a few months, you know, just finding information from different places and trying to get things clean and clear in that database. So that's how I landed here.
And what about you, Eric? How did you end up at this time in this place?
I've been involved since I moved to Albuquerque, 25 plus years ago, involved in and around creative technology, usually with some aspect of economic development. And as I was looking at how do we build our capacity or capabilities around that, I started seeing some of the innovation, the team innovation events that were taking place around the country, and started looking at how do we implement those. And one of the things that I discovered is that really, if you're looking for a thriving city that does whatever, business, technology, the arts, if you're looking for a city that does that well, they engage to some degree in this sort of public problem-solving process, where people are coming together to make good things happen. And it's not just, say, the city, or it's not just this other entity in town, but it really is this community coming together around that. since kind of realizing that just several years ago, I got more involved in, say, hackathons, or there was a thing called the Duke City Shootout, game jams, and kinds of events that do bring these different kinds of talents together. So that's really kind of been my interest area. It's why I got involved with Code for America and Code for Albuquerque. And one of the things that I think I find with that is you not only need partners, but you need like an interesting problem or an interesting area to explore. There are a lot of topics that we can explore given city data and given some folks who are interested in technology. But one of the things that really drove me or really interested me about this project was public art is something that I think we all have some experience with to some degree. We've seen it. We know that it's out there, but we haven't necessarily engaged with it that deeply. So I'm always looking for what can help build our wider community and bring tech and other talents together around some topic. But usually it's somebody else, like Karen, in the public arts program, that have that topic.
Sometimes in our fourth segment, we get a little more wonky on tools and techniques and practices. I know that the goal for DataFest was to possibly look at some applications for this data. But in the end, we are talking about a data set that, Karen, you administer for the public arts program. So that data set, is it actually a database that's stored where? What kind of technology is that actually?
This is a good story, unless you're really into relational databases and collection management.
Which we are.
The museum system is the database, and it's this company called Gallery Systems. And the museum actually is sort of the home server. They had it first. They manage their collection.
You mean the Albuquerque Museum?
Yeah, the Albuquerque Museum of Art and History runs this database. They use it to manage their collection. And it's really made for museums. It's not really made for a public art program. So a lot of the relations in the database are things like outgoing loans and exhibits and stuff like that that we don't really access. And most of what the museum system records is just what happens once it becomes an object or once you acquire this thing into your institution. And so a lot of what public art is about is the commissioning of the work and making the project before it happens. So since I've been here, I've been looking at other collection management systems because we're also part of something called the Public Art Archive, which is administered through WestStaff, the Western States Art Federation, and they have a public-facing tool. So parts of our collection are uploaded there. And then anyone who wants to learn about public art around the country, if your collection is in there, then you can access it online. The museum uses this TMS. They have a public-facing version called eMuseum, and that's how you can look up stuff in the photo archives or look up information about objects in the museum. We don't have that part. So for us, it's kind of static. The public never sees this TMS data except for now that it's in spreadsheet form.
You're looking at possibly migrating that to something that's more suited to public art. Like I'm thinking in particular, like the process information about how the work was commissioned. And then I guess geolocation is probably not as big a deal for the museum world because it's in the building.
Right. It's there. Exactly. For us, because the museum administers this, like if we have a new location that we need to enter into the database, someone at the museum has to enter that location for us into the database. So it's really not built for public art.
Or even like we were talking about in the earlier segment, being able to track physical decay over time or monitor the physical condition of an outdoor piece, which is obviously crucial.
Now, there is a conservation module, so we can keep notes about conservation and we can upload documents about it in there. But it's not like I could go out in the field and access the database from my phone and enter field notes about it because there's no web component that we subscribe to. So we just have the plugged in hard server kind of version of this database.
So in that sense, you can pull down this data easily, it sounds like now, because you've made it publicly accessible. But that's also not really live data. That's like a dump that you do.
Yeah, we'd have to get it back. There's no way for people to directly enter back into the database, except for us.
Or to access the live data in real time, in that sense.
Right, yeah.
We did a show a few years ago about open government data. And one of the things that our guest at that time was really big on was pushing standards and open source platforms for governments to use their data so that it's not proprietary. And also so that you have interoperability. So is your work with this city interoperable with your work with UNM?
Well, I've been meaning to mention that the county also has a public art program and they have data too. So I want to make sure that everyone's aware that they operate their own public art program. Some of the things you see might belong to the county, but they don't talk to each other. In fact, UNM's data only exists on that New Mexico digital platform and in a few random scattered spreadsheets. And when I was doing that work, the end goal was to get it on this digital platform.
As you're looking for collections management, presumably working with the museum and maybe working with the county or whoever, is there a push towards more open source or standardized approaches for collections management, or is it all proprietary?
We're talking about public art in Albuquerque. It's not all owned by the same entity. There's different institutions. It would do us all a lot of good if we were able to combine this data and manage it in one way. So I hope maybe that this will start that conversation. But before now, no, everyone's in their lane. Even if we use a different data collection management system for our everyday works and to help us better manage public art and the projects, we are probably still going to have to continue to keep this in this TMS system for the city, for their insurance and valuation. Everything's in one place. They could easily find all their assets in one location.
It's really interesting. I didn't even think about having to track this stuff in terms of things like liability, insurance. It's not the part I think of as a consumer of public art, but obviously a sculpture could fall over on somebody and it's on city property.
And some of this came up in discussion and some of the conversations that with Tom Johnson and Mark Leach on Saturday the 19th, where the desire is to move towards that more open, charitable direction. The challenge is that the products that were available to do the core mission, that management piece that needs to happen, that was available through proprietary software. And so making that decision of, is it better to go with this cost versus doing a standalone thing, which could have its own problems, or to search for an open source version that may or may not exist? Those are the kind of calculations that I think need to go into this. But one of the reasons why I think this was a really valuable event was there was a little bit of discussion around this and the desire to move towards something that really is much more open to public use and that they can make use of it on a regular basis. I think that's something that was clear.
It seems like there's almost a niche product there. If someone could get the open source grant, I mean, I'm an open source fan, but people say sometimes to me as someone who's a developer of code, they say, well, why isn't there this product that is open source that will do X, Y, and Z? And I say, well, someone's got to pay for it.
And upkeep it.
Yeah, and maintain it.
In the civic tech and gov tech and public interest technology world is, there have been some really great solutions that if you followed this over time, maybe there was this great open source solution that maybe after 3-5 years that gets bought by somebody. That team gets absorbed by somebody else so that the free-ish version or the really interoperable version is now behind somebody else's wall. It's one of those things where since that landscape continues to evolve, even just wanting to go open source and thinking that's the right way to go, which I completely agree with, isn't always as easy as that.
Because people need to make a living.
Yep.
I mean, it's as simple as that.
What are the next steps? Are you going to have a phase two public art? Are you going to work with different departments? Are you going to work with the Bernalillo County? I mean, where's everybody feeling they want to take this work?
It feels like there's a desire to continue to do sort of this data fest. You know, whether that continues to partner with public arts program, I think that's a little bit open, but I think there was a really good meeting of minds that happened. So the desire to maybe work with public art, maybe expand from there or have some topics, I think that's on the list. I'll just say my vote is to do this at the very least on an annual basis. I think and hope that some of the products that came out of this, some of these discussions, they are turning into something that the public might see. So I'm hopeful that these different things will have a link that we can share that people can actually use. Some version of a scavenger hunt may appear at some future event. there's enough interest from enough different parties that I think we'll see a couple of pieces come out of this that the public can use, both for fun and engagement, but also maybe to work with the data itself.
I was so focused on the collection management data piece before the event that I hardly got to think about how fun this could be and what the outcomes could be. And so, yeah, part of me is like, no, we're going to do it again next year. Both of us, we're going to, you know, but also I see how public art could kind of even be a side piece to another bunch of data. Like somebody was there this weekend who was interested in health data, and you could see sort of coming up with something that might involve walking and public art. I'd love to be part of whatever is next. And a lot of it is from that civic engagement standpoint, because I feel like that's a really important piece for public art to be part of.
I'm hearing that there's also a kind of a magic that happens, not just when government people and citizens come together and listen to each other, but also when citizens come together and discover that they're all engaged around similar values. These events kind of build their own momentum over time.
Yeah, it's sort of this emergent property from these kinds of activities, I think, is we think there's a there. And in some ways, you know, maybe that doesn't happen. But I think what we heard from the folks in the room and the different people around these tables was that there really are a lot of different directions to go. I love the way you described it, Ellen. Thank you.
Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you. So fun.
Really, really been a total pleasure. It's been great working with Karen and the rest of the folks on the team as well. So thanks for giving us an opportunity to share a little bit more about this.
And if you would like more information about the DataFest ArtQuest, you can visit cabq.gov/DataFest. And if you want to look at the current public art data, you can go to cabq.gov/abq-data. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum. And the same familiar faces come on.